Well, I hope you have your Bible, something to take notes with. That's what I want for you as your pastor and your friend. I want you to be strong and get stronger. You see, but pastor, you don't know what I've gone through this week. I don't, but I care about you. I want to help you get through it and out of it, over it, and beyond it. Amen? And pastor, I just feel so weak today. You know, I feel so weak, about to give up. And you say, I'm stronger? Yeah, the Bible says, let the weak say they're strong. Did you know that? That's a Bible verse. That's a Bible verse. Let the weak say they're strong. Your circumstances will not change until you change what you're saying. That's free psychological advice right there, counseling. Your situation will not change until you change what you're saying, because your will never will engage until you say something out loud. Did you hear what I just said? Your will never engage, your willpower, until you say something out loud. That's why 12-step programs have you repeat things out loud. That's why our Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night have you say things out loud, because your will never engage until you say something out loud. So that's why the Bible says, let the weak say they are strong. And so I encourage you to practice that this week. Get up and say, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, let's practice that. Say it with me. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Did you know that's a scripture? That's Ephesians 6, verse 10. That's a Bible scripture. Amen. Well, I better get into the Bible, hadn't I? Amen. The authority of the believer. We're in this series all month long. We kicked it off really on Easter weekend with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get into it. The authority of the believer. And I have to start with a question. Have you ever felt powerless? I have. Yeah. I think we all have. You know, don't clap, just pray for us. But this year, Kim and I celebrate 53 years of marriage. And I love her more today than our first blind date. That's how we met, was on a blind date. I love her more today, 53 years later. But the first 2 years of our marriage, I was trying to change her, and she was trying to change me. We loved each other, but we couldn't stand each other. Anybody ever been there before? And I was trying to figure it out. I didn't know what I'm teaching you this month on the authority of the believer. I grew up in the church. My dad was a deacon. It was a wonderful church. I was never taught this. And so Kim and I, the first 2 years of our marriage was hell on wheels, okay? And I felt powerless. I thought, how am I going to salvage this marriage? How am I going to turn things around? I guess whatever is will be. Whatever is will be. I guess I can't do anything about it. I guess I just give up and just flow with it. I felt powerless. How many of you know that's not God's design for you and me? That's not God's plan for you and me. God does not want us as Christians to go through life powerless. He wants us to know he's delegated authority to you and to me, so we can do something about what we're going through today. Amen. We can use and exercise that God-given authority. So look with me. Let's go scriptures, verse upon verse. I'm a Bible teacher, so here we go. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Through what? Your name. Even through your name. And then it goes on in verse 19. Behold, I give unto you, Jesus said, power. Now that word power really is the word authority in the Greek. Authority and power are two different things. When we act in our authority, God releases his power in our life. You with me, family? When we act in our God-given authority in the name of Jesus, he releases his power into our life, so we're not facing circumstances powerless. We're facing circumstances knowing greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's a Bible verse, 1 John 4:4. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, and all means all, the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look at the words scorpions and serpents. You see, Pastor, I don't have any snakes at my house, but I live next door to one, a snake. You know, back in that time, it was reality because they would go through the desert and go through the mountains and the rocky roads in their sandals. So they had to be aware of serpents and scorpions. He's talking here about how God's authority will protect us, will protect us. But then symbolically, it represents demonic spirits. In the Bible, snakes and scorpions represent demons. Notice that a scorpion is small and a serpent is large, okay? I've told you before, but when Kim and I were in college in Texas in the summer, we had opened the door because the air conditioning wasn't working in our married dorm. We lived on campus in married dorms. And I'd open the door, and seriously, during the summer, scorpions would come walking through the doorway into our kitchen tile floor. What did I do? I didn't invite them in. I didn't want them there. I didn't feed them, nurse them, or rehearse them. I didn't baby them. I didn't put up with them. Well, I'm teaching right now. A lot of things you're putting up with, you don't got to put up with. A lot of things you've been hassled by, you have power over the hassle and the hassler. And so what did I do? I tread on those scorpions. I tread on them. Tread means authority. So little demons, and then there are medium demons, and then there are large demons, and then there are extra large demons. In the demonic kingdom of Satan, there are four levels of demonic powers. That's one with little power, more power, much power, and much more power. That's why when you go through battles and I go through battles, some are harder than others depending on the demonic oppression and opposition. But notice you have authority. And notice that over all the power of the enemy being the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So that means anything the devil's throwing at you right now, don't let it defeat you. Anything the devil's hurling at your marriage, your ministry, your finances, your health, your future, your business, your startup, your kids, don't let it get you down, defeat you, or whip you. You have power over it. Oh, I like it. I like it. Okay, let's go on. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, all authority. So the origin of our authority is not a church, denomination, or a committee, or an institution. The origin of our authority is God Almighty. He came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And then he said, I give it to you, I delegate it to you, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. The right hand speaks of authority, power, favor, and influence. And he said, you're seated with me by faith, positionally in Christ. So he said, you have my authority to go. To go do what? To fulfill your mission, to fulfill your commission, to fulfill your will of God for your life, the purpose that God has for your life. You're running your race not in your own power. You're living your Christian life not in your own power. You are not powerless. You have been given authority. You don't have to keep putting up with what you've been putting up with. You can put your foot down today, draw a line in the sand, and say, enough is enough. I'm going to turn this around in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we know we have authority as Christians. But Pastor, tomorrow I got to go to work. I got to go to school. I got to go back into everyday life. How do I release it? How do I enforce it? How do I release this God-given authority? And then how do I enforce it? Because if you're waiting on God to do it, God's waiting on you to do it. Because he delegated the authority to you on earth in the here, now, and nasty. So how do you release it? And how do you enforce it? Three ways. Number one, through the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus. But it's just not a rabbit's foot. It's not a lucky charm. It's not the lotto. It's not wishing and hoping. No, it's faith. Catch this now. Faith in his name. His name alone doesn't do it. It's when you have faith in his name. So the name of Jesus, look what it says in the Bible, Philippians 2, verse 9. Well, I feel the anointing here today. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above, superior, greater, stronger, above every name. Well, that would include lack, fear, disappointment, offense, rejection, opposition, sickness, disease, divorce, rape, incest, abortion, addiction, my past, my present, pressure, stress, anxiety, addiction, insomnia, mental torment. That name of Jesus is above. It's superior. It's stronger, a greater force in your life. I love that. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in three worlds, things in heaven, things on earth, and hell, things under the earth. You see, how do you know? The scripture simply states very clearly, hell is in the center of the earth, okay? We go on, Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs means miracles. We believe in miracles at Church on the Rock. Don't leave God out of the equation. Don't leave God out of the formula. Don't leave God out of the reasoning. Don't leave God out of the decision making. And these miracles will follow them that have a degree in theology. No, those who believe. How do you release it, enforce it? In my name. Now, we interpret the Bible. There's a law called the law of first mention. And notice that the first mention of these list of miracles, the very first thing that you and I are supposed to see in our life, have authority over devils. You cast out devils. Pastor, how does that relate? Our warfare is not with people. It's not with people that you live with, live next door to, you work with, go to school with, that supervisor, that boss, that relative, that person that's harassing you, hindering you, making light of you, putting you down, making life hard for you. They're not your enemy. It's a spirit behind them that's influencing their behavior. So if you want to change their behavior, take authority over the spirit behind their behavior that's acting crazy in their life. So you have authority to cast out devils. Then you'll speak with new tongues, the list of miracles. You'll take up serpents, drink any deadly thing. That's speaking of protection. It shall not hurt you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The list is there, but the very first thing is authority over demonic influence and attack in your life. John 14, 14. This is a small verse. Let's memorize it. Let's all say it on three. One, two, three. How do you release this authority? In the name of Jesus. Notice for prayer to work, I have to know how to work and have faith in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father, not for Jesus' sake, but in the name of Jesus. And he said, I will do it. I like that. So number two, the first is using the name of Jesus in faith, stepping out and speaking to the opposition, speaking in the midst of the warfare, the battle you're in today, exercising that name that's above all of the names. Secondly, is the power of resisting. The power of resisting. I sure do love you because y'all love the word, amen? And we won't know what to resist or what to receive if we're not in our one-year Bible. Because the Bible is the will of God. I've been doing this all my life, and I've seen a lot of Christians receive, they think, from God when it wasn't from God, it was from the devil. But because they weren't in the Word of God, they didn't know the will of God, and so they didn't fight or resist it, but received it, thinking it was God's will, and it defeated, destroyed their life. So we have the power of resisting. That's the second way that you enforce your authority. James 4, verse 7, submit yourself, therefore, to God, first thing. Then you're positioned to resist the devil. Then the outcome, he will run from you. The circumstance, the stress, the pressure, the oppression will lift. But notice there's no resisting until I first do some submitting. You gotta love your pastor if you want to go to heaven now. Come on now. Notice there's no resisting without submitting. See, I'm answering because, you know, I've been doing this all my life, and I'll hear people, well, I tried that name of Jesus stuff. I went to church on a rock, and it don't work. Well, it wasn't working because I didn't know how to work it. Because if I'm not under authority, I can't walk in authority. If I'm not surrendering daily, 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 if I'm not surrendering and submitting to the authority of God's Word daily, then when I try to resist the devil, it won't work. Daily, if I'm gossiping, if I'm lying, cheating, if I'm running around on my mate, if I am arguing with my husband or my wife, I'm in strife, if I'm holding on to an offense, then it won't work. I can resist till the cows come home and nothing's lifting, nothing's changing, nothing's turning around. Well, Pastor, how in tarnation do you do that? How do we do that, Pastor? Because we live in a broken world, and every day we deal with hurt and pain and suffering. Every day we miss it the mark. Every day we have an opportunity to get offended, to get angry, to get enraged and be bitter. We have that opportunity. What do? You do what I did this morning at 4:30. I took a shower in the natural, and I took a shower in the spiritual. Because I wanted to be anointed when I stood before you today, so I couldn't have any unclean thing in my life. So I did 1 John 1:9. I said, God, today I confess my sin. I confess attitudes and actions and behavior. God, I repent. God, I repent. I confess my sin. And you said you were faithful and just to cleanse me. 1 John 1:9, cleanse me. 1 John 1:9, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I took my shower in the natural. I know you appreciate that, so I don't stinketh. And I took a shower in the spiritual. I know you appreciate that, so I'm anointed. So you are the submitting before you do the resisting. Amen. And then it works. And he will have to flee from you. That means the pressure, the stress, the opposition will lift. And so it's real important then that we understand, Pastor, how do we resist? Do we push back the devil? Do we kick the devil? Do we shut the door on the devil? Do we get a security ADT to keep the devil out? How do we resist the devil? With your words. With your words. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Let's look at a story in the Bible. Matthew 8, look at the screen, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, a leader, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented by the devil. And Jesus said unto him, we got to know what Jesus has said. We got to know, what does the word say? We're not going to live powerless. Devil, you're not going to walk in our house and destroy and steal and kill our children, our grandchildren, our health, our life, our vitality. No, you're not going to do that, because this is what the Lord said. Amen. He said, I will come, and it's my will, I will heal them. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, watch. I am not worthy that you would come under my roof. Watch, but speak. How do we release our authority? How do we reinforce our authority? With our words. But speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Watch this now. There are levels of healing. Do you know that you can be healed by the laying on of hands? But you feel that. Do you know you can be healed, and we believe in it, by the anointing of oil? And we believe it, but you can feel that. Did you know you can be healed by the prayer of agreement? Find a brother or sister, join hands, and pray and agree together, but you can feel that. The highest level of faith is just what I'm doing right now, teaching the word. You hear it, you receive it, you do it, and get the results. That's the highest level of faith. Is all you need is a word from God. Don't got to feel nothing, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't got to feel nothing, you don't got to see nothing, you don't got to touch nothing. When God's word spoken is enough. He said, just speak the word. Now watch this, we're releasing our authority. We're reinforcing our authority, and my servant will be healed. Next verse. For I am a man under authority. How do you release your authority, centurion? I say, oh, through our words. Remember, you got to say something to activate your faith. Your faith isn't activated till you speak to the mountain, speak to the difficulty, speak to the problem, speak to the obstacles. No faith is released or activated being silent. You got to speak to release your authority. You can't wait for God. God's waiting for us. You release your authority with a command, with a word. But I am a man under authority. Having a soldier under me, I say, watch this, to this man, and he goes. And to another, I say, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, I say, and he doeth that. Isn't that powerful? When Jesus heard this, he marveled. I want Jesus as your pastor and your friend. I want Jesus to be marveled at your faith. Wouldn't you like to live a life that your faith is so strong and getting stronger that Jesus himself actually is astonished and he's marveled at your faith? It can happen. Great faith. Jesus was so marveled by his response and his faith that he believed that when you act in authority, when you release it with your words, then God's power is released into your situation. So Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found great faith. So great faith. I am marveled. I'm astonished. I'm blown away. I haven't seen such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. So you activate your faith by speaking. You activate your authority by speaking. Your will doesn't engage until you speak. That's powerful. Third way, and I'm done. How to release my authority this afternoon, Pastor? I got some things that need to change. I got some situations that need to be transformed, rearranged. Pastor, how do I release it this afternoon and enforce it? How do I do that? Through the name of Jesus. And number two, through words of faith. And number three, by speaking scriptures, by speaking the word of God. I've been around for a long time, family, and I've heard a lot of people say, I've heard that authority of the believer, but it doesn't work because most Christians don't quote the word when they're in a battle. When you're in a battle, the name of Jesus doesn't work without you resisting with it. It doesn't work without you quoting a scripture with it. You have to speak a scripture, a promise, a battle verse. I remember when Stephen was born premature, and the doctor told me, if I'm lying, I'm frying. He came to me and he said, Reverend, don't worry about the birth certificate. Don't worry about his name. He's not going to make it through the night. Now, he left. I didn't say it out loud to him, but on the inside, something rose up on the inside of me. There was an authority over the situation. I wasn't going to let my child die. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. I wasn't going to lay down and say it's God's will. I know it's not God's will. 70, 80 plus years is God's will. So something rose up, a verse that I had memorized. See, if I don't memorize a battle verse, the Holy Spirit has nothing to bring up in my battle. And I remember Psalm 118, verse 17 says, "He will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." So I beg you, I plead with you, my brother and sister, who I love you dearly, when you're taking that authority and you're enforcing that authority and you're in a battle, you've got to take scripture and you've got to speak scripture to the situation. You say, "Pastor, where'd you come up with all of that?" Jesus, he's our role model. Family, we've got to have a role model. We've got to have a pattern. We've got to have a template. We've got to have an example. And at the end of his 40 days of fasting and prayer, he came out and the devil came to tempt him three different times. And each time in that battle, Jesus had a battle verse he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. And the devil came and tempted him, and Jesus said this: to resist the devil, to rebuke the devil, he had to do more than that. He had to quote a scripture. And he would say, "It is written." Am I right? He was quoting Deuteronomy. He was quoting a verse, a scripture. It won't work if you don't have a scripture to speak to the problem in the midst of the battle. How do you know, Pastor? Because the armor of God has seven pieces. One is the sword of the Spirit. A sword has two edges. A sword, it's a two-edged sword. What does that mean? One side is what God has said. And when you and I quote, say, declare the word of God, we get the other side. It becomes dangerous. It becomes the sword of the Spirit. And the devil will flee because he's afraid of that weapon. I wish I could just stay all day with y'all, praise the Lord. As the team comes out, let me give you some takeaways. Let me give you some takeaways. Number one, know your identity. Know who you are in Christ. Know your identity. Know you're seated with him in heavenly places. That means positionally, glory to God, you have authority. Know that. Number two, know God's will. Know God's word. Know the word. Memorize scriptures. Memorize scriptures. Battle verses. You're going to have it for authority to work. Number three, submit daily to God. Submit daily. Do it every morning. Make it a habit. Because we're human. And you want to be cleansed. So you're under authority. So when you need to speak over your marriage, you need to speak over your kids, you need to speak over your grandkids, you need to speak over your health. You need to speak over your job. You need to speak over your school. That authority is released and reinforced. And in the midst of the battle, you have a scripture, a battle verse, and the devil will flee and run. And the stress will lift, the opposition and the pressure will lift, and things will change. So number one, know your identity. Number two, know God's word. Number three, submit to God. Number four, speak words of faith. Because remember, your will is a part of this. And your will does never engage. It's never activated. You don't utilize it without speaking out loud. And number five, we've already said it, but make sure you speak a scripture. Now, what I want you to do this week is find something small. Not big, not a lot of things. Don't go on every front, but find something small. Maybe it's fear over the future, fear for your children, fear about your health. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it might be mental torment, thoughts, okay? Because see, you control your thoughts by speaking the word of God. The Bible says that you cast down thoughts. Do you know how you do it? with words, scriptures. You speak the word and you cast down imaginations and thoughts that have become a stronghold. What's a stronghold? Anything strong that's got a hold of me. We call it an addiction. You can break that using your authority, but your authority won't work without the name, resisting, and speaking a scripture. So find something small this week and exercise your authority over it. And I believe you're going to come out ahead on top and with a testimony. I'm done. Would you give the Lord a thank you for the word today? Amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.